You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sir. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Inside Ben Davis Football, you know we're deep in the season when we start up the show and it is dark outside. We're at semi-state. Last time out, the Giants defeated the Cathedral Fighting Irish in regionals 51-21. And coach, it was probably a game that a lot of Giants fans were happy to see go that way. Can you tell us about it?
Well, anytime, yeah. First of all, fun to be back. You know, you're right, we're in the middle of November. I'll add to that, just the idea that I'm practicing in the middle of November and it's not freezing is a good thing. You know, 2 years ago at this time, we couldn't even go outside. We had to practice inside because the temperatures wasn't getting much above 28 or 29 degrees and there was snow and freezing. And so, you know, thank the good Lord for the weather we're getting and, you know, enjoy being out there. But the game Friday was just, you know, It started off kind of like we thought. You know, we didn't move the ball in the first possession. They didn't move the ball. You know, we got the ball back on our second possession, drove down, scored, and had a two-point play in there and got up 8-0. And, that, you know, like we thought they would, they'd answer, and they did. Drove it right down, got down about our 25 or so, put in Marquis Step. He carries the ball one time and runs right through two of our kids like we weren't even there and explodes, and it's 8-7. But, you know, our offense has done some really miraculous things. And, you know, Coach Ferris and the staff do a great job. And we had a pretty good scheme put together. And we thought we could take advantage of some mismatches, and we did. And we got up 16-7. And then kind of the big deal in the game was we put another drive together. And then Reese Taylor hit Jermaine Oskins to go up 24-7 with about 3 minutes going to half. And then we kicked off, and they fumbled the kickoff. And we went right back. Little different scenario, but went right back from Reese to Hoskins for another quick touchdown, a one-play drive. And next thing you know, it's 31-7, and that, you know, that's tough in 6A football. You get that many points in the first half. But on the other side of that, you talk about our defense. You know, that one drive, they just kind of smacked us in the mouth and beat us up. And from there, we kind of changed the scheme a little bit. I don't know how much people really paid attention, but we kind of changed up we are doing and put them in a little bit different conflict, because we were trying to get them into a second long, third long situation, because we felt as long as they were in a second and medium, second and short, that they were going to be able to pound the ball. They were very big up front. They used a very large fullback. So we tried to get them, and I think we had a lot of success doing that and got them into passing situations. And I thought we generated great pressure on the quarterback. I don't know how many sacks we ended up with, but he ended up on he was like 4 of 15 on the night for about 50 yards. And so, and he was under a lot of stress most of the night trying to get the ball off. And I thought our secondary did a good job taking away. They got two Division I wide receivers, and we pretty much took them out of their game plan and, you know, and kept it going in the second half. I remember Strife's comment in the paper, the head coach of Cathedral said, you know, we came out the second half and was trying to rally the troops and get them going. And he goes, they went right down and scored. He goes, at that point, We're not in win mode. We're in let's hang on mode, because now it's 38-7. Then it jumps to 44, and the next thing you know, we're up 51-7 early in the fourth, and kind of got away from them.
I know we've talked about this team's tendency sometimes to kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit. How close did they come to keeping things going the way that you've expected this team to do throughout the season?
I thought we did pretty well. I really did. I thought we weathered the storm early, and then when we got the lead, we kept going. I know we gave up some touchdowns late. You know, we'd kind of subbed all our kids out with about 9 minutes to go in the game. But, you know, even as a coach, I still get frustrated with that because I put certain kids in. I don't expect our level of play to drop. And We missed some tackles, and they had some kids break some runs, and they kind of kept playing hard. But I thought for overall our starters for the three quarters in there did what we asked them to do. I thought we were into the game. I thought we were mentally focused. I thought we played with a lot of emotion and enthusiasm. And, you know, it's going to take that same kind of effort this week if we want any chance of moving on.
Coach, you know, 51 points on Cathedral. That's impressive. With the, you know, the history that program has, was certainly the biggest in this series between the two teams. The Giants, you know, you look back at Cathedral's history, they probably don't trail in too many series, especially the way they do now against Ben Davis. I think it's like 15-6 maybe, mm-hmm. or
yeah,
16-6.
And we're 14-0 in the last 14.
So what is it that makes Ben Davis have their number right now?
I don't know. Somebody asked me that last week. You know, it's kind of that way with several teams. You know, I'm not going to sit here and mince words. Warren's kind of got our number. You know, we struggle to go over to Warren Central and play. They kind of got our number. When Dick Delahan was here, Mike Gillen had some great teams at Decatur. And, you know, my first year here, you know, Decatur, we beat them 24-21 in the sectional finals, and Dick kind of had the number, you know, and he, you know, just what. So it's a little bit of a, I don't know, a little, our kids get real excited to play Cathedral. They know about their tradition. They know about our tradition. They know they've won, I don't know how many umpteen state championships, and they're the winningest team in Indiana football history with 700-plus wins. And they're a great program, and we know it. And our kids kind of rise to the occasion, and it's kind of a personal thing, you know, that we have tradition too. You don't just have the only tradition in the state of Indiana, and so it becomes a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
Well, Coach, for the first couple touchdowns you guys scored, you went for two instead of going for the point after. What was the thought process behind that?
Well, if you look at the first two-point play, you just have to go back to our sectional game. It's the exact same play that Avon ran against us. And we're sitting there in our Sunday staff meeting after we'd played Avon, and Avon ran it on us two or three times and scored it every time. And we said, that's a really good play. We ought to do that. And that's the God's truth. So, you know, Mark Bless and Avon staff, I even said it after the game to the media that they deserve the credit. We saw it on film, and we said we could do that. And then once you got to then it was like, all right, you're actually up a point now. You know, you could – the next touchdown, let's go for two, and if we don't get it, it's 14-7. You're back where you should be. You see what I'm saying? But now you get it at 16-7. So now you're up two scores. And then the third time we did it, you said, well, let's kick the extra point. And somebody, I think Coach Poizel said, no, because that'll make it 23-7, which that's two touchdowns and two-point conversions, and they're tied with us. If we make it 24 instead of just 23, we're up three full scores. Well, then from there, it's like, okay, we're up 24-7. Now we go kick the extra point. So it was really the first one was by design. Then after that, we just ran our normal offense, and it was more of to go for two because it puts us in a different position scoring-wise is what we were after. But, you know, I give Mark Bless and his staff credit for the first one.
Well, just a quick follow-up. Once you guys started doing extra points, you put in a sophomore, Cameron Holsapple. What was the decision behind that?
Skiles is struggling with a quad injury. You know, he's able to do certain kind of kicks, but PATs causes quad to flare up, and so we decided to use Cameron, and he missed the one, hit the top of the upright, but he did a nice job. He's going to be a good kicker down the road for us.
Coach, this year's team really has put up points in bunches. I look back at the history where I've covered different Ben Davis teams over these years, Coach Delahan teams, your teams, Coach Allen's teams. So many of those teams seem to be more defense-first focused. Is the way the offense is performing this year really your stamp on the Ben Davis program?
No, it's really Justin Ferris's. I'm not going to take any credit for the offense. He's put the scheme together. He's got the kids in the right place. They're doing the right thing. His staff, Dustin Stewart, Brandon Johnson, Scott Williams, Terry Seidel, you know, those guys are all on the same page and making it all work. Coach Ferris does a really good job of putting defenses in conflict. For example, Cathedral Friday night, their answer to stop Reese Taylor runs, which is a tough thing to do, was take their Notre Dame commit, Pete Warner, and put him in the middle of the field at about 8 yards. And if you watch the game, if Reese would start moving to his right, Warner would start moving that direction with him and just mirrored everything he did. All right, so it kind of took away the run. I mean, you got a pretty good kid out there. So recently had about 29 yards rushing. So it kind of, but you're taking away a defender. You're taking away something else. So Ferris said, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to do this. So Reese, instead of running for a whole bunch of yards, threw for 300 and some yards and I don't know how many touchdowns. And, you know, we got four or five kids that we throw the ball around to. And so we spread the ball. And, you know, he just does a really good job with the scheme and understanding where people fit.
Coach Ferris has really become a veteran on your staff these days. Often programs like yours, those assistant coaches like that become targets for other teams looking for a head coach. Do you feel that could be a possibility for Coach Ferris?
Could be for several of my guys. You look back, I've got guys that have coached for me. Coach Simmons coached for me. He's the head coach at Noblesville. Coach Shanley coached for me. He's the head coach at Lafayette, Jeff. Kyle Mullins coached for me. He's the head coach at Scottsburg. You know, I've always taken the approach I don't want them to go anywhere because in coaching, it's a little bit about continuity. The more your guys stay together, the more cohesive we become, the more we understand what each other's doing. And when coordinators leave, it's really tough because you're just losing that. You know, he might still run a 4-4, but the guy that ran the 4-4 had a way of doing it that fit differently, and you just don't. And so, you know, our staff is, Coach Vanderbush was actually talking to me about this morning in the weight room. Our staff is really a veteran staff in a way. You know, Coach Ferris has been with us since 2003 when Tom Allen was here. Coach Williams has been in and out of the program since 1984. Seidel's been with us 6 years now. Waller's been with us 5 or 6 years. You know, Stu's been with us 4 or 5 years. I'm trying to think who else is out
Swannekamp.
There. Chuck Swannekamp's been coaching for 35 years like me. Dan Swannekamp's been with me ever since he got out of college. You know, that's 8-9 years. And so we all kind of know how each other feeds off each other. And I hope it doesn't leave, but I also take the approach if it's better for them, then I'm happy for them.
One thing, and this is also, I guess, related to the offense. Looking back at 2014, that offense kind of reset the record book over Kyle Kastner's 4 years. He rewrote the record book in a lot of ways. But now you're starting to see Reese Taylor put his own stamp on the record book and rewrite some things. And this receiving corps, it's been fun to watch them kind of develop as well, because I think with that first group that you had go through, you knew that Brennan Gillis was 6'7".
Right.
You know what he brought to the table. You knew kind of what each of those players brought to the table. Talk about how this offense has developed more around Reese.
Well, you know, it starts in the weight room in the winter, and you get bigger, faster, stronger, you do all that. But it's a lot of what we did in the summer, developing a cohesive group. You know, you got kids like Noah Thomas, who's just a phenomenal football player. I think the colleges are missing the boat on him. You got Zion Blow. And again, we're a little undersized. When you think about receivers, you think 6 foot, 6'2 kind of kids. And these kids are 5'10, 5'11, shorter than that. Keyshawn Tunstall, Brock Thompson, Ajay Cooper, I'm missing somebody. Oh, Jermaine Hoskins. Three of them are juniors, three of them are seniors. And, you know, you start looking at the statistics, you know, a couple of them got 40 receptions, a couple of them got 30 receptions, a couple of them got 20 receptions. So it's not like you can sit here and watch our film and say, let's lock in on these two. Like when we played Cathedral and you looked at the number of completions our quarterback had, which is pretty phenomenal. He had a great year, but 75% of them went to two people. So we're really focusing on two people, daring him to throw to somebody else, which he just didn't. He kept looking for the kid going to Western Michigan and the little number six, and we kind of knew that. So we were doubling one and playing over the top of another, whereas in our system, in Coach Ferris's system, there's four guys always lined up, either 3-by-1 or 2-by-2, and you don't really know which. And Reese is really good at reading coverages and figuring out where you're going to go. And when you got a quarterback like Reese, who's now thrown for 2,500 yards, rushed for over 900 yards, has 22 rushing TDs, 24 passing TDs, that's pretty impressive. And he's a junior. You know, he's.
I don't know of any other quarterback, and other than perhaps James Banks.
Yeah, which
James,
you know,
didn't throw for that much.
Yeah, Coach D said last week after the game, he said he's really good, and he said what makes him better than Banks is he throws the ball better than James. James couldn't throw the ball like this. He's very accurate. I'm not saying he's got a big cannon for an arm, but he's just accurate. You know, he knows where people are going to be, and he throws it to them on the spot.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football, but when we come back, we'll preview the semi-state game against the Center Grove Trojans. So a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. This Friday, the Giants advance to semi-state. They take on a Center Grove Trojans team that they played earlier this year, losing 20-7 to the Trojans. Coach, how have the Trojans changed over the season?
Oh, I don't know that they've changed. they're just good. You know. We've talked about this, what that'd be now, 8 weeks ago. You know, it's an Eric Moore team. You know, you're going to run buck sweep. You're going to run belly. You're going to run the jet sweep. You're going to throw the ball. You're going to get into your pro wing. You're going to get into your spread. He's got a talented trio of running backs. You know, underrated kid in Trevor Holt, who I think is very good. Titus McCoy is now healthy. He led him to the state finals. And then they have Rush Yeast, who's probably one of the top two or three candidates, if not the candidate for Mr. Football. I think he's rushed for 1,400 yards, 500 yards receiving against Cathedral, who we just got done playing, who's very talented. Rush Yeast had, I believe, six catches, five of them for touchdowns. I mean, it's just phenomenal what he can do with a ball in his hand. And then you throw in that, they got a great offensive line. But probably the thing people miss the most with them is their defense. In our conference, they're holding people to 12 points a game. Now, you think about that. That's, you know, I think we're giving up 19 or 20 a game. They're holding people to 12 points a game. And in 6A football, that's really unheard of. Back in 2012, we set the MIC record for points given up in MIC games in a 7-game MIC season. I think it was 9.8, and they're right there. In fact, they may have broken. I don't know. I haven't looked at their MIC games that close. That's just hard to do this day and age because everybody spreads you out, all the athletes and all that. So their defense is just rock hard. I mean, it's the biggest challenge we've had. And you go back, and Jeff alluded to all the points we've scored, and John did too, but it's the only team that has held us under five touchdowns for a game. And they didn't just hold us under like 28. It was one. You know, not three or four. It was one. Everybody else, I think the next closest one, I think we scored 33 on Lawrence Central. And, I mean, we're averaging 42.5 a game, which is more than the 2014 team at this time. They were 41-something. So we're actually more productive, but not in that game. We did not do some things well in that game. We were on a 3-game winning streak coming in. And we just didn't do things well. So we've got our hands full. You know, it's a chance to pay back somebody that beat you earlier in the year, but we're going to have to play maybe our best game of the year, bar none.
Russ Yeast came in as a move-in as a senior to Center Grove. Talk about what kind of an addition he's been in general.
Well, I asked his dad why he moved there. I said the West Side would have fit him pretty well. But, no, dad took a job at Franklin College. He's on Mike Leonard's staff, and that made sense. You know, he's the move-in every coach dreams of. You know, he's a good kid. He's a full qualifier. He does all the right things. I've met him personally about 3 weeks ago at an interview at the MIC Network, and he came up and introduced himself, him and Trevor Holt, just very polite young men. First class all the way. You know they're being raised right, and they're doing the right thing, and I really enjoyed talking to him. And he's just He's just phenomenal. I mean, you know, I don't know how the coaches will vote when it comes to Mr. Football. You know, you got Hunter Johnson, who's had a great year. You got, I think, another one over there, Brian Fitzgerald at Avon, I think, and these are just the ones locally. You know, Sue Meyer had a good year at Warren Central. Tante had a good year at Warren Central. These are just the guys. Jalen Walker at Carmel has all kinds of receiving yards, kickoff returns for touchdowns, punt returns for touchdowns, receptions for touchdowns. But Russ Yeast, I mean, he's playing corner. He's the punt returner. He's the kick returner. He's the personal protector on punt. He leads the team in rushing. He leads the team in receptions. He leads the team in touchdowns. I mean, he's just phenomenal. And if Titus McCoy had been healthy all year, oh, my goodness, what that might have looked like. I don't know.
You look at Center Grove and their team that the Giants know well. Play them usually once or twice a year, depending on how far both teams go in the tournament. Center Grove this year, unlike last time you guys faced them in a semi-state, was kind of a surprise that they had kind of made it that far. And, you know, they kind of started off bad and got the ship righted and then really had a pretty easy run through the tournament, make it through the regional, which was I think they beat Warren
2 years ago.
Yeah,
Southport. We beat Warren.
So they made it to the semi-state, and this was kind of like where they put all their chips down. It's been a little bit different for them this time in that they've had to play Warren Central last week. The sectional may have been marginally tougher this time.
No. I've seen the film.
I was trying to give him credit.
Wasn't even close.
When you look at this team coming in, they're obviously one of the top teams in the state, if not the top team in 6A right now with the way they're playing defense. So a lot of the same players, too. You know, you've mentioned, too, you've alluded to that. What is it that that gets Coach Moore this far in the tournament, besides maybe that easier tournament run. But what is it that gets him this far?
I think it's his program. You know, we've talked about this on the air before, is you go down and watch his junior Trojans, fifth and sixth grade, play football. It looks like the high school team just in mini-me's of them. You know, his middle school's the same way. He's got the program built in such a way that from the little grades on up, everybody's on the same direction, doing the same thing. And, you know, I'd like to think it's that way around here. It's not nearly as in tune as it is there. You know, we're trying to make some adjustments with some of the things we're doing. But he has the program from top to bottom. He's in complete control of the program. And his kids know it. They buy into the system, and they love it. You know, we can sit here and say, you know, I'd like to go south and play. Well, he had a tough regional with Warren. Prior to the whole shakeup a year ago, his track from sectional to regional to semi-state was one of the easier. It's not anymore. You know, Columbus North was a good team this year, and, you know, and obviously Warren is a great team, you know, great team.
Kind of a follow-up to that. In a way, Center Grove's kind of like still, it's not, they're not a small town, but it is kind of a small town atmosphere in that he coaches not only the football program, but he's also the track coach.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a throwback.
Sure.
In a way, a lot of ways. I always think it's a throwback too, the way he wears the play sheet right out there in front.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Center Grove. This will be now the sixth time that you guys have met in the semi-state.
Is that right? I know the first time was 2000. We lost 30-28.
Well, it went back to 87, actually.
See, I don't remember. I wasn't there.
That was the first time Ben Davis played in a semi-state, and they beat him 49-0 here.
Okay. I know in 2000 we lost. 2001 we won. 2001 we didn't play him. That was Evansville Rice.
Yep.
2002 we played him and won.
That was Coach Dullahan's 300th win.
2008 we played out there and got the crap beat out of us by Jordan Llewellyn and the Jones boys, and they whipped us pretty bad that night.
Yeah.
2014, we beat them here in a shootout, and then again this year.
Sixth time.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Well, Coach, one player who's caught fire kind of in this playoff run was Noah Thomas. I've really seen him develop into one of the top receivers on the team. He was one of the top before, but I think he's cracking into the top two right now, in my opinion, but he's had a really good playoff run so far for you guys. What has he changed, or has he changed anything to really elevate himself throughout this run?
I don't know that he's changed anything. We're finding him, find ways to get him the ball a little differently based on routes or scheme. Noah just has that knack of making the first guy miss. And sometimes, you know, you read, well, Reese had, I don't know, 300 yards passing, say. But we threw a flare route, you know, that he caught 2 yards from the line out on the other side of the line of scrimmage, made a guy miss and goes 80. Well, that counts as 80 passing yards for Reese, but it was literally just a dump throw. You know, I think we did that once to Noah on Friday and once to Johnny Adams, where we threw a flare route to Johnny Adams and got a couple blocks and took off down the sideline. So, Noah just has that ability to make somebody miss. And once you make a guy miss, and it's just instinctive. If you watch film enough, you know, I catch the ball and I take off, and Mr. Easter's coming here to tackle me, and I make him miss. Jeff thinks he's getting ready to tackle me, so he kind of lets off the accelerator. Once he realizes he missed, my guy's already accelerated, and you don't have a chance to catch up now. And Noah's real quick with his feet. His feet never stay on the ground long, and that's what gives him a chance.
Well, playing against a defense like Center Grove, how key is it for a guy like Noah to make the first guy miss? How important is that to beating them?
Well, that's going to be a tough battle. You know, the one thing that makes their defense really good is they don't miss tackles. They're very good at tackling in space, and we worked on our kids tackling in space tonight just because Rush East is so tough to bring down in space. So we worked real hard on that as part of our drill time tonight. So, you know, he's going to have to try to break one. We're going to have to try to make plays. We didn't make plays the first time we played. We were down, you know, and I'll take you back now. We were down 13-7 in the third quarter, had driven down to their, just inside their 25. You know, a score here makes it 14-13. I don't know, might change the game, may not. You know, we may still get beat, but it might. Had a kid running the wrong route. If he'd run the route he was supposed to, which was wide open, and we ended up trying a field goal, and we missed it. And I don't know if you remember, they get the ball at the 20 and run a belly, and we just blow it up, and Yeast backs out and then takes off around the edge for 80 yards for a touchdown. You know, in the second half, they had the ball six times, five punts and an 80-yard play, and that was it. So we did some good things, just not enough of them.
Hey, you repeatedly have talked about mismatches, especially in the wins against Brownsburg and Cathedral. Where do mismatches exist within the Center Grove scheme?
Not sure. I think, you know, 17 and on their D-line reminds me of the Swan and the other kid last year. I can't remember his name. The one to Vanderbilt, Tid.
Cameron Tid.
And then linebacker number four is just awesome. Oh. I mean, he plays so hard, so athletic. And I think their secondaries, here's what they do. Some people try to take certain things away. They're going to do what they do. You know, their scheme is set in such a way that we're going to run this, and then we're going to keep everybody in front, and then we're going to fly to the ball and tackle you. And we're going to make you go 12 plays to score. You know, we're not going to be able to get Jermaine Hoskins behind them for two long touchdowns. They're just not going to let us do it. It's not going to happen. So we're going to have to be very patient and realize that the touchdowns aren't going to just roll like some people think we should now do because we've done it a couple times.
When you look for a mismatch, is there any way to separate their talent levels and their schemes?
Yeah, you have to. You have to try to get by formation, by motions, by scheme, you try to get certain kids in certain places. And we're going to take, they're going to do the same to us. They're going to try, you know, if you watch where Russ Yeast lines up, he lines up as the wide out on the right. Next play is the wide out on the left. Next play is in the backfield. Next play is the wing. You know, because every time you move him, it causes us to think, moved him here, so now they're going to do. And so it's a chess game. It really will be.
Well, Coach, this Friday the Giants take on the Center Grove Trojans in semi-state at home. What are your final thoughts?
Well, it's, you know, I don't know what the weather's going to be like Friday. I really haven't looked that far ahead, but need purple rain to come out, man. I'm not going to mince words, man. I was disappointed. I really thought we'd have a crowd there at that regional, you know, a student section that would take up the whole back end of that stadium, and just kind of wasn't there. We had a great crowd. We had a lot of adults, a lot of people. Need purple rain to kind of show up. This football team's on the brink of, they've already made history. I don't care how we draw this up. They're in the history of Ben Davis football. They're only 16 regional champions in football, and they're one of them. And to get to the Final Four, I don't know if people realize how hard that is. It's just not easy to do. And we're on the cusp of something really special, and I hope they show up and get to be part of that.
Well, the Giants take on the Trojans this Friday WBG will be covering that game pregame starting at 6, kickoff at 7. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks to Zach back in the studio for producing. And we'll see you guys next week, hopefully, live on Inside Ben Davis Football. So we'll see you guys this Friday when the Giants take on the Center Grove Trojans.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.